Games in this podcast range from E to M. Hi, it's Larry here of Xbox's Major Nelson. Welcome to the official Xbox podcast. Thank you for liking, subscribing, and doing your whole thing. The gang is here. I got Jeff over there on your left. And Malik. Malik is sitting in this week for Rebecca. Malik, good to see you.
Good to see you. Good to be here. I just want to say that I made my bed for this episode. You can't see it. Nobody can see it. So I made it for no reason. But
you know what?
To be here.
It feels good. The fact that you know it is all that really matters. I appreciate you sharing that with us. Jeff, is your bed made?
I guess so.
I haven't made my bed since, I don't know if I've ever made my bed, but it's not in the shot. So that's all that matters. Larry, they let you back in. So you didn't.
To your point, Jeff.
No, yeah, spiders last week brought we did back. Show. No.
No spider. Here's the most important thing. We went through, and Jeff, I was updating you real time on this one. You know, I went down. I was just back from Australia. I was down there last week for Showcase. We're going to talk about that in a minute because Malik, you were down in LA. I was down in Melbourne. We're going to talk about that. I did a bunch of events at EB Games, which is still the thing down in Australia, which is owned by GameStop. And it was great. Thank you to everybody that showed up there. But yeah, I'm back this week with, I got to tell you, Jeff, have you been to Malik or Jeff, have you been to Australia?
Nope. No, yeah. Sadly.
It's, but Jeff, I know you've been.
Everything I know about Australia has been informed by like Crocodile Hunter and basically like Nat Geo and sort of things. and you. And I heard it has good coffee, but all I know is the Outback. And I'm honestly petrified to go.
I know. No, it's Outback Steakhouse, if that counts.
No, that does not.
Did you have a Bloomin' Onion? Or I'm sorry, how many Bloomin' Onions did you have? Did you bring me back
any
Tim
Tams? Not even a finger, but the long story short is the jet lag, Jeff, I know you've done some travel to Asia, is real. It is a little brutal right now, but I'm recovering, but I'm glad to be back. We've talked about the Showcase, talk about some games we're playing. We've got Malik, you're sitting in for Rebecca this week, so I figured we got to start with what you're playing, and then we'll go to Jeff, and then we'll finish up with me. So what's keeping you entertained this week, Malik?
Cool, yeah. And so I've been playing The Quarry. If you're into narrative-based games, this is a game that you're going to want to pick up. It's made by Supermassive Games, huge pedigree in this genre, and definitely, I'd say The Quarry, if you're into like horror games, is something that you want to pick up. There's about 12 chapters. I'm on chapter 7, and I'm just sucked in. I'm enthralled with the story. I will say that, you know, the writing is amazing. Everything is great. I will say the one thing that is a little jarring is some of the decision-making process of some of the teens in the game. A bunch of teens, if you didn't know, spoiler-free, who are going off to this camp to be counselors in training and things.
What could possibly go wrong?
What could possibly ever go wrong with that? But I think that, you know, it is one of those games where you have to just suspend your disbelief a little bit because some of the decisions that they make aren't like the super smartest. Like, it's not the best. It's like, I heard a noise. Let me go check.
It's a typical horror movie.
Yeah, it's a horror movie.
Definitely.
No one ever makes great decisions in those movies. So.
It wouldn't be fun that way, right? It wouldn't be fun that way. But I will say that it's gotten a few scares out of me, which is actually really tough to do. And so highly recommend anyone who is interested in the game, go check it out. It's getting great reviews, by the way.
It's the team that made Until Dawn. And so they sort of like, I don't want to say they invented this type of, you know, sort of interactive horror game, but they might have perfected this particular version of it. And I think that's why people
are so certainly doing it better than almost anybody else.
Yeah. And they have, is it Brenda Song? Is she in this?
Brenda Song's in the game, yeah.
Yeah.
And I will say to that point, Brenda Song is one of the most recognizable faces in that game for sure. But like, they're all like actors who have been in, you know, film and TV shows, and you can see their likeness. And I guess to that point, like I mentioned it really briefly, but the facial animations and the character models, it's like what you saw 10 years ago that you didn't believe was possible in a video game. It is so impressive. I'm playing on a Series X in 4K. It is absolutely stunning in a way that I didn't think video games could get. And so highly recommend if you only want to play.
That says a lot because you've played a lot of games. You've played a lot of games, haven't you?
I can't tell if that's a sarcasm or not. I mean, I played a lot. I feel like I've played a lot, but I've only played a single game for the past few years, which is Apex, but not this week.
Right.
All about The Quarry. Fall Guys is another game. I don't know if we want to hold off on that, but
Okay. How about this? Everybody with a crown, please raise their hand.
Okay.
Not, two out of three.
Is this what we're doing?
Out of three. I honestly wanted to know. It was an honest question. What Larry has is a great head of hair, and you know what? That's worth more than any crown.
I would say so.
I would.
What? So I thought you all were playing together, and I thought I saw a clip of your maybe Jeff you getting a crown, but were you not? What's going on?
See, now you're just playing into it, Malik. Now you're just playing into it. So let's tell us about your Fall Guy experience, and then we'll talk about ours. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So, Fall Guys came out just now, like recently, and I loved it. I've loved watching people play the game until this point, but I haven't played it myself. And so last night was the first time that I've ever played the game. And appropriately, much like any game that is a competitive game, I am terrible at it. But I will say that I feel like I'm learning. I'm picking up, the folks who have played the game for a long time know the courses. They know all the strategies, like diving and grabbing on to people. Thanks to my teammates, we played the squads, the four-player squad mode. So I wouldn't say that I'm the one who is responsible for me getting the crown, but I have one nonetheless. And so I'll take it, and that's what's going to be my legacy. But I'm going to get better at the
game. Well,
I got carried to my first Victoria Royale. I got carried in my first Apex win. You're just going to build from here.
That's right. Okay. I appreciate that. Optimism.
Larry?
Well, so Malik, first of all, thank you for sharing that. Fall Guy is now available free to play on Xbox, so go check it out. Jeff and I played last night with Phil Spencer. Jeff texted me like, hey, do you want to check out Fall Guys? I'm like, yeah, it's a quick download, by the way, so you can just download it like that. And so I downloaded it and I hadn't really played. So I start up a party. I invite Jeff and he's finishing up a game by himself. He's going through and I said, all right, I haven't really played it yet. There's not really a tutorial per se. Jeff, to your point, it's like, it's jump A in there. And X and that's pretty much it. But so Jeff's playing his game and I'm sitting in the party just kind of waiting. And Phil Spencer sends me a party invite. So I'm like, hey Jeff, let me go over Phil's playing.
You have to accept that, by the way. That's
kind of the protocol in gaming. When the CEO of gaming sends you a party invite, you have to accept it. So I go over there and bring Jeff with me. We're all sitting there. Jeff finishes up, and so we all decide we're going to play together. So we go in there, and Jeff, you were running the game, and I
probably did it wrong. So I threw us in a solo queue. So all three of us were in the same game, but we were running individually. And so we were, rooting for each other, but at the same time, we're still competing. And and that's why I'm very interested in how the squads works, because I saw you won as a squad, and that's what we need to do next time. But long story short, somehow I managed to win in the final round. And here's the thing I would say about this game. I was in I think there was 14 people in the final round, and 10 seconds out, I was probably in 13th place, and somehow just at the end. Go on, Larry.
You go ahead and you put the video up, and I grabbed it here. You put it up on Twitter, and I retweeted as well. But here's what went down, Malik. Take a look at this. So here he is. He's got the little white.
Look at my noob skin. Yeah, I have one thing unlocked.
Now look, that guy's gonna grab it, but he doesn't know what to do.
He's waiting for it to come. And I'm like, nope. That crowd. And
completely bogarts it. Completely.
Here's the thing.
Did you pay that guy off, that person off?
No, he...
I don't know.
I don't know what happened. What I do know is I got it. And what I also know is the sound of just unbridled joy that I screamed out into the microphone was probably too much. Yeah. And then I was like, wait a second, Phil is in this party.
So yeah, we had a great time playing. Unfortunately, like you just saw, Jeff won the crown. But Malik, now you said when you played the squad, I didn't get it. But Malik, tell us how the squads work. Did everybody get a crown in the squad, or how does that work?
I sure hope that's the case, because I certainly wasn't the reason that the team won, like I mentioned. But so basically with squads, I believe there's still 60 players. So the math is 15. So there's 15 squads that start off. And just like in the solo kind of queue, teams will get eliminated. It tells you how many teams need to qualify and how many teams will be dropped. And basically the performance is I guess it's a bunch of your performances. So everyone gets their own individual score and they get a number attached to that based off of where they placed. And then at the end of the round, it'll add up everyone's cumulative score. And based off of that is whether or not you move on, because there were definitely some, you know, some of the, I guess the maps where I did not finish it because I couldn't make a jump. And for some reason I couldn't get the hold on, mechanic down. And so there were some where I didn't finish, but our team did move on because my teammates were just so much better than I was. So,
well, if you need any help with that hold on mechanic, clearly you can, clearly Jeff knows how to use it, 'cause he just held onto that crown and stole it from that other being.
So, yeah.
You know, Phil talks about playing games, and he plays a lot of games. You know, we were talking last night as we were getting ready to set up. He was telling us about, and I don't think he would mind me telling the story. He's telling us about how he, you know, he finished Elden Ring, and his daughter's now playing Elden Ring, and he's helping her, his daughter through it. I mean, so game, what you see from Phil is exactly what you get, and it's fantastic.
I downloaded multiple times. He was like, "Have you checked out Trek to Yomi, Jeff?" And I was like, "No." And I was like, I've heard a couple people talk. He's like, "You got to play it. You'll love the way it, you know, it looks amazing. There's nothing that looks like this." And we're talking, and I'm sitting there like downloading. He's giving me recommendations, and I'm like, "How does he have the time to run the company and then also try all these different games?" But like you said,
we should be suggesting games to him. It was embarrassing.
What kind of like obscure recommendation do I have for him that he hasn't played yet? And the answer was there was little that I could add to the conversation other than to download it, and it's waiting for me. I'll play tonight.
So one of the other games we were playing, and I actually played it with Phil a few weeks ago. It's on Game Pass, is Sniper Elite 5. A couple weeks ago, I started playing it. And again, Phil sends me a party invite, so I take it. And I go in, and he's like, "Hey, do you want to do the, it's like a horde mode." So we had a couple people from the community, and we were playing that. And it was a lot of fun. This was before I went to Australia. So I got back and I said, "Jeff, we have to play this." So Jeff and I had played, I think, Sniper Elite 4 and played one level and had some fun. So we get into Sniper Elite 5. And I don't know, Malik, if you've played it, you should play it and download it. But this game is a lot of fun. It is it's an open sandbox. You have a series of objectives to complete. You can go loud. You can go stealth. Jeff and I are playing it, and I think I had hosted the game and I had set up the game. And there was one of the options was, which we turned on, was allow Axis invasion. And what that is, Malik, is, you know, it's you're playing on the ally side. The Axis is the Nazis in this case, and somebody, a real player, joins the game as a sniper on the Nazi team, on the Axis. Mm-hmm. So you've got the NPCs, and you can kind of figure out what the NPCs
are. They're not very smart. Yeah.
Right.
Of course.
But now we've got a real player, and we don't know where they are. We have no idea what's going on, except this particular level, Jeff and I are clearing out this barn, and I go walk over, and there's this like box on the wall, and it says reveal Axis invader position. So I was like, yes. So I clicked the button, and it showed for like this little circle on the map where they were last seen. And so it wasn't real time. It was like, this is where they were last seen, and which was fairly close to us, wasn't it, Jeff?
Yeah, we realized they were flanking us. And so we were like, because we assumed, oh, maybe they're going to stay near the objective and just sort of, you know, snipe us as we're coming in. And instead they got aggressive and came around. It totally rattled us. We broke stealth. We started just like shooting at phantoms. But in the end, it was kind of reminding me almost of like MGS3. There's like that very famous sniper versus sniper boss battle. And so it's like, who wants to move? Like, I'm holding perfectly still. Like, you don't want to reveal your space. And then we see them crouch walking through, you know, like in the distance. It's like, Larry, go, you know, here, because there wasn't like,
so I went wrong, I went one way, like Jeff went the other,
and eventually we did get the drop on them, and we took them out.
Well, wait a minute, once again okay, Jeff got the drop on them. And Jeff got the achievement, so I didn't get anything.
Credit where credit's due.
I appreciate it. But it was a team effort. You know, you were the bait.
Yeah.
And, you know, we needed the bait. It took that. And then we went through we just went loud the whole way through after that. And I think we took out every Nazi within, you know, most of the Western Front in that level. Not the way you're supposed to play it.
Within four clicks of the chateau.
Oh, my God. But, yeah, anyway, good time. I'd say playing it in co-op just adds – it's having – because oftentimes – there's no safe spot. So you might set up in a place and you're like, I think this is safe. I can, you know, take foes out at a distance. But inevitably, nope, there's a way behind that they can get behind you. And having that second player really, really helps out. You had to res me at least once, Larry. And you know, we're going through
that was your own, that was that's right. Because you, if you remember correctly, you shot the engine blew up and you were too close. So it wasn't,
yes,
look, misjudgment, let's say
it was it wasn't clean, but it was yeah. You know, the ends justified the means, I think, in this case.
You got the dub. That's all.
So
that
anyway,
matters.
Sniper Elite 5, it's on Game Pass. Check it out. If you have a friend who has Game Pass, tell them to download it and try it out together. Really, it's a really nice co-op experience, and there's lots of different ways to, you know, it's an open sandbox, so you can kind of achieve your objectives, the objectives, any particular way, and it'll pop up other objectives along the way. And we did pretty good with that, didn't we, Jeff? So
we did. One other thing, I just want to, one other game. I ended up playing quite a lot.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go to what you're playing.
More
let's
new games this week than I think in a number of weeks. You tweeted at me last week that it was Kiryu-san's birthday, and it reminded me that I've been holding a couple of Yakuza games in reserve. I know I love them so much. I've played 8 or 9 of them in the last, if you include Judgment, in the last 2 years. And I know I love them so much that I'm like, I don't want to like speed through them. It's sort of like when you get to the end of like, or towards the end of a book you really love, you kind of like slow down a little bit.
You want to savor it.
You want to savor it. So I saved Yakuza 5 and 6. I haven't done them. I've done 7, and I've done 1, 0 through 4, I guess, into this point. But so I started Yakuza 5. So a big chunk of it takes place in Sapporo, which is the first time that they had gone. They had been in Tokyo. They'd been in down in Kansai, sort of course, the name is escaping me right now, Osaka, and all the way down into the islands. And then you're in Fukuoka, which is in the south. Japan's a huge country. You think, oh, it's just a couple islands, but it really extends thousands of miles. But I've been to Sapporo. And there's places where I'm like, I've been down this alley, or I've been at this intersection where there's this really cool Nikko Whiskey Classic sign, and it's there. And so it was just really cool to see that. So I think it's a very long game, and I'm maybe 40%
Do you have any photos that you took when you were there that you can go find it in game and do the, you know, side by side?
So I hadn't played the game at that time, so I don't think I did that. But now, actually, I really want to go back to Japan so I can do that. I can take a picture in front of, you know, this at least famous in the game landmark, because they really did capture, in some cases, like actual buildings, especially if you're playing like Judgment, Lost Judgment. Like, so I've gone through like Google Maps and like the street view, and it's like, no, that building's really there. They might have changed the name of the bar or whatever, but there's a bar there. There's really a beef bowl shop there. There's really a AMPM or something, you know, there.
All right, well, thank you for that, Jeff. We've got a little bit of news to cover, and then we got some interviews. Jeff, you had a lot of interviews this week. You were busy. So why don't we have you kick into the news, and then I'll get us into the interviews. What do you got for news over there, friend?
Sure thing. So let's talk about games that are coming this week to Xbox Game Pass. So a few things. I love a good tactical RPG, and the Shadowrun Trilogy is out this week. These are critically acclaimed 3 different games from Shadowrun, and you get to really sort of role play and make big impacts on your on the decisions that you make. But then when you go into battle, it's a tactical RPG. So if you love the strategy, if you love different ways to play and sort of that challenging strat, definitely want to check these out. 3 games all in one as part of the Shadowrun Trilogy. On the PC, we have Total War 3 Kingdoms, which is the strategy series is Total War. We've seen quite a few of these, but 3 Kingdoms takes place in ancient China through the, you know, if you've played the any of these Musou games, you know, then you're probably familiar with the 3 Kingdoms era, but you've never played it quite like this. FIFA 22 is out by the time you hear this. If you're an Xbox Game Pass Ultimate member, you can play that on console and PC through the magic of EA Play. It is now in the vault. 2 other games. Well, one that'll be next week, which is Far Cry 5. We had a great time with Far Cry 5. Larry, we've talked about punching cows in co-op more than once. If you've never played Far Cry 5, big fan of that one. And then another very interesting battle royale title called Narika Blade Point, which just came out this week. It comes out after we film this, but before you've listened to it. So this is something I'm very interested in, and is a It is a battle royale that is focused on martial arts and melee combat, as opposed to being a shooter or being like a platformer type of situation, as you've seen with Fall Guys. So this game came out on PC, I want to say last year. Over 10 million people played it. First on console, on Xbox, and it's part of Game Pass.
Day one with Game Pass, Jeff.
For this. And I really want to see, you can customize the heroes. It just looks really interesting. A lot of like interesting mobility with like grappling hooks and stuff. So I plan to talk about that next week. And then of course there's just some recently released stuff. People have been talking about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Shredder's Revenge as being one of the, potentially one of the games
I have
of the
one.
Year. So if I have you have one. One, you have one.
What? An update.
Oh, please go.
One of the games that I played a lot of last year, Deliver Us the Moon. It's now fully remastered for Xbox Series X and S in 4K, and it's got next-gen features. And the best part is, if you own it, upgrade free. So I'm really excited about that one. I'm going to check that one out.
Very good. That's definitely your type of game. So I want to issue quickly a congratulations to the folks who produced the Power On, the story of Xbox. So for the 20th anniversary of Xbox last fall, we released a three-part documentary on the history. Was it three-part or four-part? I think it was three-part.
Six-part.
Six-part. So I was only off by like all of it. But
close enough.
I watched it all. I thought it was very enjoyable. Maybe it was six parts and it felt like three because it went by so fast. Well, anyway, they won an Emmy, which is amazing. So congrats to that team. And if you haven't seen it, definitely, if you want to know like where all of this comes from, it's a really cool watch. And it was fun to watch with the family and to see how the place where we work at came to be, because it's really quite a tale. So Power On, the story of Xbox. Congrats to the team that made that. And lastly, one of the best parts of like Summer Games Fest, E3s of yore, I would say the GDC Game Developers Conference, is getting to play things that aren't out yet. And something that the ID at Xbox team, our independent team, they've been working to replicate that for you at home. And so right now we are in the midst of the ID at Xbox Summer Game Fest demo event. So some of the games that you might have been hearing about from these play days that was for creators and for media, you can now begin downloading and playing these same demos at home. There's 35 different game demos that you can play right now. One of the ones that people were really excited about was Metal Hellsinger, which is an FPS, like very metal, and has like actual like heavy metal tunes, licensed tunes. But you end up, it's sort of a rhythm game at the same time. And so you actually want to be on the beat, and it changes the way you think when you're playing this. And this is a game that a lot of people were talking about. You can play that exact demo at home now. That one's called Metal Hellsinger, but like I said, over 35 different demos. So I would say show the ID at Xbox team that you love having this early access by playing these games. So they're there now, try them out. And if anything jumps out at you, we would love to hear it.
All right, we've got some great interviews here. Jeff, you were busy this week. First, we catch up with Rod Ferguson. He's gonna talk about Diablo 4. We saw him in the Xbox Bethesda Game Showcase last week. He's gonna tell us a little bit more about that. And then Jeff is going to talk to Emmanuel Rodriguez, who is the community manager for Team Ninja, about Wulong Fallen Dynasty. Check it out.
At the recent Xbox and Bethesda showcase, we showed over 30 games that you're going to be able to play coming up in the next 12 months or so. And I got to tell you, I listen as part of my job. I listen to all the podcasts, all the recaps, and people talking about what they like and the things that, you know, resonate with them. And in every single one of them, Diablo 4 was brought up. And if I had a podcast, I also would have had Diablo 4 on this list. And that's why I'm absolutely thrilled to be bringing on Rod Ferguson, a familiar face here on the Xbox podcast. It's just great to see you. How are you feeling after this huge reveal of Diablo 4 a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, very excited. Very excited. You know, there's so much going in to be able to announce the fifth and final class. We're bringing the Necromancer back and then be able to sort of showcase the team and showcase the team talking about the game and, you know, really sort of letting everybody know what Diablo is all about. So it was a great moment.
So you are the general manager of the Diablo franchise. What does that mean?
It basically means I oversee everything in the franchise. So whether it's Diablo II Resurrected, Diablo III, Diablo Immortal, Diablo IV, those all kind of roll up to me. And so I oversee the entire franchise.
So when you joined Activision Blizzard, I know you had been a Diablo fan for a long time, even when you were, you know, the major domo of the Gears franchise. Right. And was there something when you came in where you said, all right, now that I'm the GM of this franchise, this has got to change, or this is a thing that I want to know. Why is this like this? Was there something like that where you were like, this is the first thing I want to find out?
There's a couple. I mean, one of them, unfortunately, I wasn't able to get that change to happen, so I don't really want to talk about it because it's disappointing to me. But yeah, it was kind of interesting to get to talk to people who have been making the game that I love for so long, you know, getting to meet people who've been on Diablo 3 and even going back to Diablo 2. So to me, it was just to be able to listen to the stories and understand how that game got created. And it has been a favorite of mine for a long time. You see, like, if you watch in my goodbye video at the Coalition, they even had like the me saying like, oh, I got my Diablo 3 for my Switch for the airplane ride, and, you know, and highlighting that. So it was kind of funny, but it was interesting because when I started, we only had 8 days on campus before COVID fully kicked in. And so I basically got to walk around for a week and then everybody go home and work from home. So it's been a really interesting couple of years, like 2.5 years now, where it's basically been remote the whole time.
So I'm glad you brought up Switch, because I had written down, I was like, I've bought Diablo 3 on 3 different platforms. I bought it on PC the day it came right out. I ended up getting it on PS3 right, 10 plus years ago. Got it on Xbox One, that the Ultimate Evil Edition, I want to say, where I probably spent the most time. And that idea, I got it on Switch when it came out, because that was actually a really great way to play the game. So I'm very familiar with Diablo 3. But then right, when I saw Diablo 4, when you know, really looking at this footage, I was like, this is a big jump. So what have you been able to do? What has new technology enabled you to really do to sort of change this sort of, yes, it's sort of top down, it's sort of isometric, but it just seems like a really big jump, at least visually.
Yeah, there's definitely visuals is a big part of it. When you look at what you can do now in terms of like the fact that this is going to big open world is a big part of this, right? Because what we talk about when we talk about Diablo is really Diablo 4 is really it's about player choice. You know, the things that we're doing now where before maybe you had an iconic character, like in Diablo 3, there was like one male barbarian and one female barbarian. Well, now in Diablo 4, you can make it look however you want to look. You can have your own backstory for that. And the same thing for like, it's a whole new set of skills. And so you can choose how you want to play, what builds you want to play. And then there's like, do you want to play solo? Do you want to play with friends? Do you want to play, you know, it's a nonlinear story in an open world, so you can go and explore and do the things you want to do. And so really what that technology is really doing is really providing for that choice. And so that you get it in, you know, so the obvious thing obviously is the visuals, but the fact that you have, you know, that shared open world you can go out into, and that you can have this nonlinear story and you can have these real-time cinematics, which I think is really great, because you know, whenever you cut to a pre-rendered cinematic, you'd lose the kind of the character, right? Because you don't know what the character that the player made. And now in Diablo 4, we have real-time cinematics, so your character can actually be in those scenes, and it'll make it even more immersive.
So there are a couple of different things to touch on there that you hit quite a few points. So let's talk about playing with your friends. Look, you land the sound bites. You hit it all in one sentence. But we've got a little more time here.
It's a big game. There's a lot to talk about.
Sure. So let's talk about playing with friends. I would say like my favorite time with Diablo, maybe ever, was in that Ultimate Evil Edition on Xbox One, where I'm playing with Larry, I'm playing with a few other folks that are on this podcast, yeah. And we're at vastly different levels, and yet it seemed to like we all were able to contribute. It wasn't something where it's like, oh, you know, you're level one, I'm level 99, you're going to get one hit by everything. There was a really great balance of that. Mm-hmm. But it seems like you're expanding out. So there's couch co-op, I believe was announced.
Yeah,
but then also,
two-player.
Okay, which is, you know, a fun way to play. But then also, we'll be able to play across different generations as well. Is that correct?
Yeah. You'll be able to play across, it's full cross play. So you'll be able to play across generationally, and you'll also be able to play across, you know, ecosystems, if you will. So you can play PlayStation to Xbox, Xbox to PC, mix and match however you want to. And so it's not only cross play, but also cross progression, so that you can, you know, be playing on your PC at work, maybe, you know, don't tell the boss. But then you get home and then you can fire it up on your console and sit there in front of your glorious TV and surround sound and be able to pick up right where you left off. So you'll be able to intermix however you want. And it means also like when you're playing with your friends, if you have a friend who's a PC player only, you can play with them on your Xbox and those sorts of things. So it's great to be able to allow that sort of connectivity for players that they haven't really been able to have before. Because I'm the same way as you. I own Diablo 3 on every platform. And part of it is, you know, I wanted to have mobility, or I wanted to have, there was a certain situation I wanted to play a certain way. But also it's just been like, oh, my friends are playing on PC, I have to get it on PC. Oh, my friends are playing on Xbox, I got to get it on Xbox. And so this now, you don't have to do that. You can play where you want to play.
Yeah, I think that's one of those things where people go, oh yeah, cross progress. Yeah, of course. But I think it is really kind of life-changing, especially considering how long you all tend to support these games. And let's talk about that. You talked about Endgame in depth here a couple of weeks ago during the Xbox and Bethesda showcase. So for those who finish the story mode, what do they have to really look forward to?
Oh, a lot. I mean, that's one of the big things that we're really excited about with Diablo 4, that it's one of going to be a game that launches with an end game there and waiting for players to finish the campaign. You know, in Diablo 3, it wasn't really there at launch, but for Diablo 4, there's a whole bunch of features that are available once you finish the story. There's the notion of Nightmare Dungeons. So you get these sigils that you can find while you're playing, and they're basically keys to these dungeons that will give you extra loot and extra difficulty, and you can kind of work your way up into harder and harder Nightmare Dungeons. And the dungeons will change with modifiers, and the loot will change based on, you know, certain situations, so you can kind of actually target what you're going after. But so there's the Nightmare Dungeons is a part of it. There's these things called whispers, there's a story construct called the Tree of Whispers. And basically you make a deal with the Tree of Whispers, and there's an unfortunate end when you break your contract. And so the tree basically hires people to go and collect for them. And so that's kind of a bounty system that you can go in and fulfill these contracts for the Tree of Whispers. And so you can also level up going through bounties and also target different, you know, again, targeting what you're trying to look for your loot. There's PvP, which is going to be, we have world PvP. So you can go out into the world, and there's these particular areas we call the fields of hatred. They basically been corrupted by Mephisto, and so you go into those, you get this sort of like, you know, that you rage at other players, and you opt in, you know, it doesn't matter, you go in and immediately get attacked. You have to opt into it, and when you opt into it, then you basically, as you're starting to fight other players, and there's still monsters in there and still things like local events, but you start to collect this sort of PvP currency that then you can turn into loot if you can survive, because the more of it you start to collect, the more known you get to become. And so people start realizing, oh, there's a person out there who's got a lot of this currency on them. They're being very successful in PvP. Maybe I should go and attack them. And so it's there's a bunch of different things. And then, you know, as we look at how we want to expand into things like you would expect with seasons and even story-driven expansions, like there's a lot for players to expect and supporting for us to be supporting Diablo 4 for years to come.
So I've been getting into Diablo Immortal for the past couple of weeks. And one of the things that jumped out at me as just really resonating with me is seeing other people running around and occasionally helping out. And sort of it just makes the world feel a lot more alive. And is that something, you know, socially you'll be bringing with Diablo 4?
Yeah, it's a shared open world, but there's sort of certain aspects of it where you don't want it to be shared. There's certain story moments where you want to have it as your moment, you know, and strongholds are one of those things. Strongholds are in the open world. There are sort of these sort of camps, if you will, where there's some infestation of demons or infestation of evil. And so you go, and when you go into it, it becomes your event to deal with. But once you defeat them, that stronghold gets converted over to a public space where now it's a town or it's a dungeon entry or another waypoint that you can teleport between, but that becomes available to the shared open world. So you have these sort of moments where you're in a story-based dungeon, which is just for you and your party, and you can have that as a solo experience. But then when you're out in the open world, you can be in social spaces and you can have these sort of local events where you can sort of meet people walking by and fight the local event, or go even bigger with the world boss, which is going to be this giant boss that is meant to take on multiple parties at the same time. And you can all come together and fight them as a group for great rewards.
Yeah. So it won't always just be about, oh, go on, please.
No, I just wanted to say, like, but one of the things that sometimes a lot of Diablo players are also solo players, and whenever they hear things like shared open world or, you know, all this sort of social aspects, they're nervous about what it means for them as a player. But it really is, you know, you can play completely as solo if you want to. That the fact that there are going to be adventurers running by you occasionally, or adventurers helping you beat a local event or a world boss, that's sort of just additive, but you can play the whole story solo if you want to.
Very cool. Again, goes back to player choice, as you said earlier.
Right.
So we've got the Necromancer up here, revealed a couple of weeks ago as the fifth class for Diablo 4. We've seen, I love the Necromancer in D3. I like running around with a menagerie of like beasts and having them, you know, and do all kinds of stuff.
I'm a manager, so I just like having people to delegate my work to. So if you could just go like, go fight that monster, you know, and let me know what loot you get, we bring back, that'd be great. Yeah.
So with the Necromancer, or if you think to, you know, Barbarian, we've had Barbarians, you know, going way back and Mage, like how do you think about evolving them? Because there's certain things people are used to doing, but again, there's player choice here, both in terms of what they'll look like and how you want to build your character. But what was something where you're like, okay, here's how we're going to make, you know, these classes feel different?
Yeah, I think there's a lot there in terms of the way that they've changed the skill tree, the way their skill tree works. Also, there's a new Paragon system. So when you play like in Diablo 3, Paragon is basically just adding sort of points to a meter on certain things. Oh, I want more armor, or I want more health, or I want more movement speed. But now Paragon is a whole new system where you have these Paragon boards where you can sort of plot your path through it, almost like a moving across a checkerboard where you can sort of pick different squares to accomplish different goals. You can go like, oh, this square up here will give me a boost to this skill. I'm going to work my way there by taking more strength and those sorts of things. And then you can actually rotate those boards to pick, like when you can add boards together to make an even longer path. So the Paragon system is really rich. But the thing that really is interesting, I'm a hardcore, like I love Necromancer as a character. It's kind of what I main. And so when I saw what the team had come with, which is this notion around every class is going to have a unique special ability, like that is going to be just their own. It's not just about, you know, the skill tree and the Paragon board, that every class is going to have a unique thing. And for the Necromancer, it's a thing called the Book of the Dead. And what the Book of the Dead allows you to do is it allows you to customize your experience in your sort of your summoning army or your minion army, if you will. And so not only can you say like, oh, I want skeletons, you can say, oh, I want a particular type of warrior skeleton. I want ones that are aggressive or ones that are defensive and are protecting me, or ones that are basically reapers that go out and create corpses for me as raw materials for my corpse explosion or what have you. And then you have mages and you can pick, well, do I want frost mages or do I want, you know, dark magic mages and those sorts of things. And so you pick that kind of experience about what you want. And then there's even your golems, like which of the three golems do I want to have? And then you can sort of intermix those. And what's really cool is that on top of being able to say like, oh, how, here's my play style and here's my configuration of my army, you can actually choose to sacrifice them and gain a different ability. So if you don't want to have skeletons or you don't want golem, you can actually sacrifice them, lose the ability to summon them, but you gain different abilities and become a more powerful sort of individual.
So Rod, this will be the last question here. I will say it warmed my heart to see you up on stage, in a prime role in the Xbox and Bethesda showcase. But you've been working on Diablo now for a whole pandemic, a couple of years and change now.
Yeah, exactly.
What's been your favorite thing working on this legendary franchise?
You know, it's a bunch of different things there. It's around the people in the teams. Like there's phenomenal people at Blizzard and phenomenal people within the Diablo franchise. And it's a real honor and a privilege to get to work with them every day, even though it's through a Zoom screen most of the time. And then the games themselves, you know, like the idea that we do a lot of internal testing. It's one of the things we do. And it's one I really love is that we get to play the entire game. From prologue to epilogue, we have builds that we just take home. And what's great with the pandemic is that's all been sort of accelerated. So I can play a test build on a retail Xbox. And so I can be sitting there in my living room, you know, and my big TV playing Diablo 4, you know, alpha, whatever. And being able to do that as sort of the way to just to play something that you love to play as and be able to work on and talk about and test is, you know, it's that do what you love and you never work a day in your life kind of thing. And that's sort of what working on the Diablo franchise feels like. Felt like that for me for Gears, but it also feels like that for me in Diablo, that opportunity to be in a world and on a franchise that I love to be in, and then to work with super talented people that are passionate about what they do is a cherry on top.
Remind me to give you my gamer tag, because I too sit on a sofa and have an Xbox and would love to play Diablo 4, but I'll wait for, like everyone else, I'll wait until 2023. Super excited. Love what you're doing. We would love to have you back. It's been just really great to see you, Rod.
Thanks. You too, Jeff. Yeah, it's been a little bit of a, it's been great to be working with Xbox and being up on, doing the event. And I was one of those things where when I left Microsoft and, in E3, I was sort of looking like, okay, I will never have April criticizing my wardrobe ever again. I'm free from the E3 stage wardrobe criticisms of you can't wear those shoes, that belt looks terrible, why would you wear that shirt? I'm like, I can just wear what I want to wear. And then then when we get to do this shoot, they're like, could you bring some wardrobe choices? And I'm like, sure. And then there's April, and she's like, yeah, I don't like those jeans, maybe that. And I'm like, oh my God, it's happening all over again. So it was really funny to go through that experience. But, you know, someday I'll be free of the wardrobe police. We'll see.
Let's hope not.
Nice.
Towards the end of the Xbox and Bethesda showcase, one of the games that really came out of nowhere was Wolong Fallen Dynasty. This is a title that is made as a collaboration between Team Ninja and Koei Tecmo. And I got to say, it is very much in my wheelhouse. So I'm super excited today to welcome Emmanuel Master Rodriguez, the Team Ninja Community Manager, over to the Xbox podcast. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, man. Thank you for having me here, Jeff. It's a pleasure to be on here.
So this trailer, it was about 90 seconds, a lot of action, well, there was a lot of stuff happening here. So why don't you tell us what you can tell us about Wolong Fallen Dynasty?
Yeah, so Wolong Fallen Dynasty is essentially a fantasy, dark fantasy setting of, the Three Kingdoms. It happens to take place in the later Han Dynasty. And that takes place, like I said, at the beginning of the Three Kingdoms. And you're essentially this militia soldier that is basically trying to fight against the odds and looking within to hopefully let loose some power to overcome these odds and get through these dark times. Obviously, there's a lot of conflict and a lot of battle. And I think anybody that likes, dark fantasy or Chinese mythology and Chinese martial arts, I think people are going to be looking forward to that.
So Koei Tecmo is no stranger to the Three Kingdoms era, the very long-running Dynasty Warriors series. They invented like Musou gameplay, made a lot of those sort of like legends of that time pretty famous. But Team Ninja's never really worked in that time period or even in sort of in China, have they? Is this new for Team Ninja?
Yeah, this is very new for Team Ninja. Like you just mentioned earlier, Koei Tecmo has obviously been involved in that history or that time frame, and they've made several games around that. But this will be the first time that Team Ninja gets into it. It's not only that, it's just it's also the first time that's kind of shown in a dark fantasy. And I think that's what's going to really be different on top of what you would sort of expect from Team Ninja Studio, which is, heavy on action and, very tight controls. So it's going to be definitely different. And it's the first time they take on something like this.
So undoubtedly a lot of knowledge from Koei Tecmo, at least of that era, probably, melding together really closely with the, the action pedigree of Team Ninja. Would you expect that we might see some of those, famous, generals and warriors, like maybe making their way into the story? And I only ask because at the very end of the trailer, there's a mounted warrior, and I was like, that kind of looks like I'm getting Lu Bu vibes here, is all I'm saying. Not to spoil anything, but I'm just curious if Team Ninja's planning on sort of like tapping into that historical, to that level, the historical personalities.
Yeah, so for players or even fans of that era, I think they'll be looking forward to, some of these famous warlords, as well as, some of the weaponry that they carry. So the team is dedicated to deliver those things and to show off some of these warriors, as well as, what you saw at the end of the trailer. I think at this point, it's not so much a tease, but I think most people can kind of figure out what's going on right there. And so people that are, fans of that time frame, or these kind of, action-based games. I think you guys can look forward to discovering those warlords as well as some of their equipment.
Very cool. Going back to Dynasty Warriors 2, I've not been able to beat Lubu. So, you know, maybe we'll have a little better luck here in a different way. So Team Ninja, when I think of Team Ninja, Ninja Gaiden, as an Xbox fan, is you know, this trilogy. The trilogy is available now, actually, on Game Pass through the Master right. Collection, and I highly recommend you check it out. That is very hack and slash, and you hit like one button and you start to feel really cool. Difficult game, no doubt. But this is being touted as a Souls-like, and usually those will have a little bit more of a considered pace, perhaps. If you're just wailing on a button, you're generally going to find yourself eating steel pretty quickly, or claw, or right. whatever you're fighting against. So can you tell me about how Team Ninja is thinking about the gameplay?
Yeah, like you mentioned earlier, Ninja Gaiden is very, very fast-paced, and you kind of like hack and slash right through it. And there is some aspects of the game that are hack and slash that are in there, but it's not to the level of Ninja Gaiden. So I think it's important to kind of separate that and understand that it's not exactly that. But the speed is, I would say, is much faster than one of our previous projects, which is Neo, which mm-hmm. we had done previously. So it's faster in that sense. And there's also this sense of freedom in comparison to like Neo. So because you can, now you can have like a jumping ability and you can kind of like move around freely a lot easier. And although it's not an open game, an open like open world game, it still like has areas of exploration and also the ability to kind of jump in and out of battle in a way that suits you. You know what I'm saying? I think that's what's really unique about this game, being able to make those adjustments and move quickly and not have to worry so much about things like stamina so much. You know what I mean?
Noted. Yeah. And Souls-like doesn't mean Souls. So, you know, there's elements there, I'm sure, but doesn't mean it's exactly the same. Now, you did mention Neo, and Neo's a game that, you know, as an Xbox fan, I haven't played, but I do know the name. And let's talk about the pedigree here, because I know Yasuda-san is a producer on that title. And then I know Yamagiwa-san worked on Bloodborne. And so to have two folks that have, you know, worked on these big titles, you know, creating something that's going to be on Xbox Game Pass on day one, which is very cool. What do they bring in terms of pedigree to Wolong Fallen Dynasty?
Yeah, Yamagiwa-san and Yasuda-san, these guys are, not to sound like a hardcore fan myself, but they are very, very talented developers and producers. I mean, they know what they're doing with the success of Neo, and obviously past experience with Yamagiwa-san with Bloodborne. I think it's really cool to see two great minds kind of come together. And I know there was a lot of excitement. You know, as a community manager, I look over as to how the community is kind of responding to this and the people behind these projects. But they're going to basically bring all their experiences and work together to make, you know, Wulong Fallen Dynasty a very unique experience. They obviously know what they're doing, and they've made games mm-hmm. in the past that are very enjoyable. So I think it's very exciting to see two great developers in the industry come together in official capacity to deliver this game.
Emmanuel, you're a community manager. You're allowed to be a fanboy. Like it's totally acceptable. In fact, I would be a little worried if you weren't. So you're in good territory. Good hands here. So we know that Wulong Fallen Dynasty, it's not that far out. Early 2023, coming to Xbox consoles, coming to Windows PC, coming to Game Pass day one, as we talked about. I have to imagine over the course of the next, you know, year or less, before we get to play it, we're going to be learning more. So where can folks learn more about Wulong Fallen Dynasty? Where can we expect to see it in the coming months?
Right. So to keep up with the game and see what's going on, you obviously can follow the official accounts of Wulong Fallen Dynasty, which would be at Wulong Official on Twitter and, of course, at Wulong Official on Facebook. You can always keep up as well with the Team Ninja Studio Twitter and Facebook as well, which is at Team Ninja Studio. There'll be a lot of information there, as well as the website, which would be, you know, at teamninjastudio.com/, you know, Wulong. And you can catch more information at the latest updates that's been announced, things as, you know, what might come down the road. I know that the producers have already mentioned that they're trying their hardest to get the game to the hands of the gamers. You know what I'm saying? They want to, you know, give them a chance to touch it. So any updates regarding that obviously will be posted on the website as well as our social media. So I'm excited to see what will happen once the gamers get their hands on it, because I've obviously grown with the community, the several communities from Team Ninja, and getting to know them on different levels. And I'm curious to see what they do with the game.
Awesome. And so many people are going to get that chance to play it with it coming to Game Pass and on Xbox consoles and on PC. So we know there's going to be a big Xbox audience here. They're going to be hungry for more. I'd like to cordially invite you to come by Xbox Wire at any point and share any new info as it's released. We would love to be sharing that. So thanks, Emmanuel. It's been really great having you, and looking forward to playing Wolong Fallen Dynasty in early 2023.
Jeff, thank you for those interviews. Always great to hear from the gang about those games. And of course, you did masterful with those interviews. It's always good to see Rod. I just love having him on the show. But anyway, hey, Malik, we were talking in the break there about Microsoft Edge, and it's got some new features that they shipped this week. Do you have the outline of what they announced?
Absolutely, Larry. I'm really excited about it because, you know, with Xbox Cloud Gaming taking off, especially with, you know, Game Pass games, you can play wherever you want, and Microsoft Edge is going to be a great place to play. I know a number of folks on that team who've been working really hard to make it the best browser to play Xbox Cloud Gaming. So just want to run through a few of the updates that they have coming to it so you all can check it out on your own. So beginning with efficiency mode, which is Microsoft Edge's way of helping to improve the performance on Windows 10 and 11 PCs to keep games running faster and, of course, smoothly by automatically reducing how much resources your browser is using. And we also have a new gaming homepage in Microsoft Edge where you can get right to gaming as soon as you launch the browser. So if all you want to do is game in Microsoft Edge, then there's a new way to kind of get right into it. And then there's Clarity Boost, an exclusive feature to Microsoft Edge that enhances console gaming with Xbox Cloud Gaming. Clarity Boost, it's a spatial upscaling and enhancement that makes streaming games look clearer and sharper while playing in Microsoft Edge. So, of course, streaming isn't going to ever be as clear as native gaming, but with this Clarity Boost, we're getting even closer to that. And so, again, number of really awesome folks on the team that are literally working to make Edge the best browser for gaming. And so, yeah, if you're into cloud gaming, go check it out.
You can test that out at xbox.com/play.
There you go. That's the URL.
All right. We're almost getting ready to wrap up the show here. I want to talk about one thing. I have these, which means I have... It's my new controller, Jeff. Check that one out. Malik, check that one out. This is with the new Design Labs.
Is that
And Jeff, you've got camo? Some details about the new... Yeah, that's pink camo.
Cool. Yeah, so the new... I like... That's good. That's good. Your daughter might like that one as well.
I think you're right.
I'm just saying, if you don't put that away, you're going to find that she's
going to lose it.
I know she likes pink. So yeah, basically the Xbox Design Lab was taken offline for a couple of weeks. It is back on. New features, things like, first of all, new colors. And I've actually got mine to show as well. I'm featuring one of the new colors here, this minty green. And also, and you showed it off, but this... Thank you. I went for like sort of a Cascadia look with the blue and the green and the white. But the metallic D-pad. So there's both metallic D-pads and also metallic triggers. And they just add like an extra level of, I don't know, class or quality to it. And of course, you have the grips. The grips have been here for a little while as well. These things are optional. So you can go with the classic stuff. You can add grips, you can add metallic, you can not. There's just more options than ever. There's probably tens of thousands of combos. And then one of the things, and we talked about it a few weeks ago, is this part is called the top case. This is,
that's the official
in this
term.
Case, it's green. But there is also a Pride top case that we're just going to be keeping there all year round. Pride is celebrated in the U.S. in June and in other places in June, but there are countries where Pride is celebrated. I think in Australia, it's celebrated in February. In Sweden, I want to say it's celebrated in August. So instead of just having it there in June, you can take it, you can customize it, you can
all
add elements to it, and it'll be there all year long. So check it out at xboxdesignlab.com. Build your own.
We also launched Design Labs.
You guys showed off your controllers. Oh, I was going to show off my
Design Labs also in New Zealand as well. So it's got some new areas. So that's exciting. Oh, look at that.
Here it is.
That's the...
That's right here. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Larry, but I wanted to show off my controller that I was able to get. It's also camos, you know, so... Here it is.
The camo is really, that's my way of, it really stands out. It's real. It really stands
out. Got a couple of other items I want to show off here. We talked about, are you guys done? We talked about GameVice last week. Jeff, this is, look at this thing. This is the GameVice adapter for your iPad. It's part of the Design for Xbox program. And I know that I know our friend Ethan works over there, right, Malik? So he's working on some cool stuff. And
that'd be fun to try with Diablo Immortal. Yeah, or I guess I also for cloud gaming to play Fortnite, that could be good.
Yeah, I've also got their this is their you know, you can see it expands out. This is the GameVice for the Lightning version for the iPhone. So that's kind of a little bit more you know, it's a little bit, it's in its portable state right now. So those two great devices are now available as part of the Design for Xbox program, which is a great program that we have. And speaking of that, we also have I tweeted this out. This is the SteelSeries Arctis Novo Pro wireless headset. How's that for a lot of words? But this is one of the most comfortable headsets I've ever worn, and it's got this, you know, you can kind of put your boom mic back in there if you want to do that. What you can see behind me, this right here is the base unit, which is mostly, you know, used if you've got it on your desktop. I don't know if you guys can see this okay back here. But this is it's a really great comfortable device, and it's probably going to be my default moving forward. I've got so many headsets here, and I like to switch around, but this one's currently my default.
You charge on the base? Is that what that's for?
No, it's actually, Jeff, check this out. It's actually a very interesting interesting design. The answer is yes, but let me tell you what it does. It actually has, and I'm going to open up the side, the little ear pads, little ear covers here open up, and there's the battery.
Oh,
you pop it out. So you don't have in there that's charging. So you can hot swap.
Got it. So you swap it. Yeah, I was wondering because you have it in front of your TV. And I was like, well, if you stood it in the base, it would be blocking the TV. But now it doesn't. It's very flat. That's really cool.
Yeah, here, let me show you. Hold on.
You said it's a Steel Series, Larry?
Yeah, this is a Steel Series. And this is, I just unplugged it. This is the base unit right here.
Oh,
and look at that. And you can see that's where the battery gets popped into. Yeah, so
one
it's
of the
really,
things
really
that
kind
SteelSeries
cool
does really well is I don't know if other companies do this, but I noticed it with them. They do this sort of double band. Maybe if you hold it back up, your Arctis Pro. So they have the double band, and that inner one, I squeeze it. I bet it like goes flexible. Like if you put the two together, like if you pinch it, like I'm doing. Yeah, see. And it has give to it, and so it actually sits very comfortably on your head, which I think is.
I can't hear you now, so I'm just showing it off.
That's fine. This is the best case scenario for us. But quick, talk about. He's got his other ones back on. No,
by the way, it also folds.
Incredibly comfortable ones.
It also the ear cups pivot as well. Oh, and also it's important to point out there's two great features on this thing. It's got noise cancellation. So if you're gaming in a noisy house, then you can, you know, it may cover some of those noises, but it also has Bluetooth. So as you're, you know, if you get a phone call in and you're playing, it'll actually, you know, put it over, you can say, oh, bring the game audio down this while I can watch the phone. So it acts as a Bluetooth. So this is kind of like one of the premier headsets now available. So it also works great. You can kind of see it's got USB-C on the back there for the Xbox, and then line in, line out. So it's got a whole suite, and you can, it's got a whole software suite as well. So, all right, enough talking about that. So,
nice.
wanted to show that to everybody. But before we go, Malik, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about was you were down in LA hosting FanFest for the Xbox Bethesda Game Showcase, and I was down in Melbourne. How was your experience in Los Angeles?
It was amazing. I know you all touched on it a little bit last week, but and it's kind of like this thing that we continue to say, but after, you know, XO19, I believe, was the last gathering of its size before the pandemic hit. And since then, I think the one thing that's been missing, you know, from Team Xbox, as well as I'm sure on the fans' end, is just that ability to come together in a space and just celebrate gaming. Connect. You know, the world's been kind of wild. And so for us to kind of put all of that aside for a little bit for 90 minutes and a few hours after that for the show, it was just amazing. I was telling, actually, we were talking about Phil earlier. I was just telling him how, like, walking into the place, the Novo Theater, was like overwhelming, emotionally overwhelming, because you got to see people, you know, who haven't seen each other, who got to connect. I think Phil was even mentioning that there was a couple who met at like FanFest prior, and they've been married for 4 years since, and they've gotten to tell them that. So it was awesome. I did get to host a stage show, which was a lot of fun, with Kelly Lombardi, who is just a fantastic host. She's working on Ask Dust Falls right now, which is coming out July 19th. And it was just really great to kind of put on an entertaining show on the stage. We had a number of really cool games, played a few pranks on folks, all in good fun. But it was just a really amazing experience. And you just got to cross your fingers that hopefully we get to do this again. But had the time of my life.
Good. Yeah, it was a lot. I mean, I can't say much more than what you already did. I mean, it was such a great event down in Melbourne. Of course, we were up in Toronto as well. Was that where we were, Jeff? In Toronto, and then also
Toronto
in Spain.
And Madrid.
Madrid. Yep. Yeah. So I don't know where we're going to go. If we continue to do this, maybe we'll go to different places next year, but I can tell you that the fans in Australia, and I'm sure the fans in Toronto and Spain, were just as generous. And you're right, Malik. It was great to be back together. Great to really just be in a space and talk and feel the excitement about the games. Yes, it's great to sit here and watch on the screen when you're at home, but there's nothing quite like doing it in a room full of people and having people excited. I can tell you one of the moments when we were in Melbourne was when we announced the Pelican and Microsoft Flight Simulator, and the whole place just lit up, because that's the kind of mashup you want, right? That kind of excitement. So it was just so great to see that feedback. And all the games, of course, we saw Rod, who we had on the show earlier, was on screen there. It was great to see him. So it was just so great to be all together again. So I want to thank you, Malik, for going down to LA and hosting that. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, 100%.
So anyway, all right, gang. Well, we're going to let you go. Jeff, I know you have meetings. And Malik, I really appreciate you sitting in this week and joining us and telling us about your Fall Guy crown and the rest of the lovely experiences. So we'll have you back on again
soon.
You'll
get
Jeff,
there, Larry.
Always good
You'll
to
get there. Yeah. We just don't want to mess up your hair. You've got green hair. Let's there not mess up. I need the crown to cover... Yeah. Fading.
Mm-hmm. Me too, if I'm being honest.
When anybody says the crown, all I can think of is, remember that cheesy little paper crown you'd get at like Burger King for the birthday? That's all I can think of.
So, going best. To Burger King anyway. This week. And Malik, we'll have to wear them. We're on to crowns. Crowns only. Let's do a crowns only episode.
Crowns only.
All right, gang. We'll see you guys. Thank you for downloading the show, gang. We'll see you guys next week. Jeff and Malik, thank you, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye. See you.